Friends, up till now, we have seen many aspects about the agriculture and agriculture-related activities. We never talked about the finance. Now the time has come so as to undertake these activities which needs the finance. So, the need of finance in agriculture sector. This is chapter 3. The structure which is devised to understand need of finance in agriculture sector. Why finance is required in agriculture sector? What is the impact if it is not financed? So these kind of things we are trying to understand in our discussion in this chapter. Okay. So the structure of our discussion is consisting of one is a business side of the finance. Agriculture never took as a business. Agriculture was never considered as a business. So that the effect of the business side of the farming, how from the business perspective the agriculture can be undertaken, its effect of the traditional finance, effect of the traditional finance. Traditional finance means earlier we have seen professional money lender, landlords, traders, relatives. What is the impact of it? Whether it is advisable to get the finance from them or not, and under what situation this finance is important. That also we will look into. Then role of technology for development of this agriculture. And finally, the investment requirement in the agriculture. These few aspects we are going to discuss in this chapter. So the agriculture finance is always played a pivotal role in the development of the agriculture sector. Okay. Earlier it has been a non-institutional source of finance that was dominated with the independence, and the government took a special attention for the provision of the institutional credit to the agriculture sector. The progress has been remarkable, and the farmers are provided with the finance through the various institutional sources. Commercial banks have also played a very important role in financing the need of agriculture sectors. New credit delivery system has been implemented by issuers of the Kisan Credit Scheme, but that was limited to the extent of only public sector banks or PUCs. In addition to that, banks like NABARD has grown up in a multi-dimensional institution for shaping and implementing the country's overall rural credit policy. Okay. In addition to that, it is observed that the growth rate as far as the status and performance of the agriculture credit is concerned, the growth rate of this agriculture credit, giving the credit or giving the finance to the agriculture sector, was higher during the pre-reform period as compared to the reform period in the most of the states. So what it indicates? It notes that it is unevenness in the growth rate of the agriculture credit. While examining the performance of the flow of the institutional credit, the government has observed that despite there is an increase in the overall flow of the institutional credit over the years, there has been taken several gaps in the systems. And what are those gaps? These gaps are inadequate provision for the credit to the small and marginal farmers. Who were served? Those who are the landlords, those who are having the large farmers, and small and marginal farmers have been ignored. That is one gap. Second, paucity of the medium and the long-term lending. Paucity of the medium and long-term lending, and the limited deposit mobilization and heavy dependence on the borrower's fund by major agriculture credit players. So these constraints, these gaps, all these have a major implication for the agriculture development and well-being of the farming community. It urges for taking the serious efforts to address and rectify these issues by the government. Now, having understood these gaps, having understood the requirement of the finance, we have classified the financial need in agriculture sector. At what point of time the finance is required by the agriculture or agriculture sector? We can classify this financial need into productive needs and unproductive needs. Now, what constitutes the productive need means the productive needs, which refers to the finance for the purchase of the needs of the fertilizers and its implements, as well as the digging and deepening of the well, which are directly connected to the production of the crop. So, the finance made available to this need for development of these is called a productive need or productive loan. And what is the unproductive need? Unproductive also need. So, unproductive need is nothing but it is a consumption loan which does not generate any profit out of loss, out of it. It means the purpose for which the farmer has also getting the loan are only to either celebrate the marriages, birth, funeral, or whatever it may be, the small functions where spending is more and there is no income as such. That is unproductive need. Now, there is another classification. This is one from productive and unproductive side. There is another way of classifying the financial requirement of the farmer, and that is depending upon period for which the loan is required. It may be for the short period, it may be for medium period, it may be for the long term. Depending upon that, classification is also done. So, the short-term loan, which consists of the short-term loans needed for cultivation of or for marketing of the domestic expenses. Okay, cultivation of the crop and marketing of the produce which is taken out from this crop. Okay, then medium-term loan. Now, medium-term loan, generally, it ranges from 15 months to 2 years. Sorry, 5 years. 15 months to 5 years. This is the medium-term loan definition. And what it is required? For making improvement of the land, leveling of land, digging of land, or leveling of land like plain, making it plain. Then buying the cattle for the agriculture implements. These require the longer period for generate the income by the farmers and make the payment, make the repayment. That is called medium-term loans. Now, long-term loans. This long-term loan constitutes the period which is beyond 5 years and which is required for the purchase of land. Then make a permanent improvement of the land. Then pay off its old debts and purchase of costly agricultural machinery also, which repayment of which is depending upon the production in the agriculture. That is why it is called as long-term loans. Now, having understood classification of the finance requirement by the agriculture, we now come to stage to make it known for ourselves what are the sources of this agricultural finance. Source, from where the agriculture will be financed. Now, this credit market do not operate in isolation. Rather, they generate the various kinds of the horizontal and the vertical linkages. Similarly, the issue of interlocking of the land, labor, and the credit market has gained an attention of the researchers also. How to bring it together so as to make maximum benefit for make the finance available to the agriculture sector. The institutional credit that has been conceived to play a pivotal role in the agricultural development of India. Large number of institutional agencies are involved in the disbursement of the credit to the agriculture. However, the persistence of money lenders in the rural credit market is still a majority of the concern. Whatever amount you can borrow it from the banks, financial institution, etc. But ultimately, at least once in a year, farmer has to approach the local money lenders because of their consumption need. Because the institutional lenders, they are not providing the credit facilities or credit for the consumption purpose. But nowadays, that trend is also slowly going to be changed after when the small cooperative banks or small finance banks came into existence, or new agri NBFCs have come into existence. Certain percentage of their loan, which is they propose to grant to the farmers, 10 to 20% of that they are keeping as a reserve for granting that as a consumption loan. That is one aspect. The structure of the source of the credit has witnessed clear shift from the commercial banks and have emerged as a major source of such a credit to the agriculture in recent years. There are several initiatives that has been taken to strengthen this institutional mechanism of the rural credit system, and the major milestones which are achieved or implemented by the Government of India under the rural credit consist of, number one, various policies, reports, so a lot of things government has done. One is the acceptance of the Rural Credit Survey Committee report, which was done in 1954. Then nationalization of major commercial bank in 1969 as well as in 1980. Then establishment of the new breed of the banks, that is called Regional Rural Banks, RRBs. That was happened in 1975. Thereafter, what has happened? The establishment of the National Banks for Agriculture and Rural Development. In 1982, NABARD was established, and financial sector reforms which came into 1991 onwards. Special Agriculture Credit Plan was prepared somewhere in 1994-95. And launching of KCC, that is Kisan Credit Card, which was launched in 1998 or 99. That is still holding good its position, but marketing of that KCC is very, at the ground level, if you look, it is very, very small, or very, very small way it is given the importance. Doubling the agricultural credit plan with the 3 years, that is 2004, and the agriculture debt waiver and debt relief scheme, which came into existence in 2008. The government is trying to best to expand its reach to the institutional credit to the farmers. Recently launched, the KCC scheme is the best example of it. Though government has implemented it, marketing of this or sale of these credit cards to the farmers, that much importance was not given by this financial institution, particularly the public sector banks. This scheme has been successful to some extent, but there appear to be various studies and that have made the assessment of the performance of the schemes also. One of the study, for example, is on the aspects related to the KCC, that is Kisan Credit Card scheme. This scheme, the first it is examined, first aspect which was examined, the state-wise variation in the disbursement of Kisan Credit Card. Second one, it estimated the magnitude of the regional disparities in the spread of KCC. And the third one, it made an attempt to look into the factors that influences the availing of the KCC scheme by the farmers. It means properly it was not brought to the notice or not understood by the farmers. Okay. So, after understanding these various initiatives which are taken by the government right from pre-independence and post-independence and post-Green Revolution stage, we have now come to the stage to understand the major sources of agriculture finance in respect of the agri-finance. We are all aware that there is an institutional source and non-institutional source. Non-institutional source we have already seen, but institutional source is more important because now it is lawfully, it is the agencies, these are the agencies which provides on demand the finance to the agriculture sector. Therefore, this institutional source consists of the government and the cooperative societies, commercial banks, that is public sector bank, including regional rural banks, because these RRBs, regional rural banks, have a tie-up with the commercial banks, that is public sector banks. Okay, they work under them. RRBs are working under PSUs, public sector units or public sector banks. Then lead banks, and also recently what? Agri NBFCs and the small finance banks which have come up in the last 4 to 5 years period. These agri NBFCs and small finance banks, these are the recent inclusion of the credit providers to the agriculture sectors because they use the modern technology, because they have the robust risk management policy, they have the paperless sanction of the loans. These are several advantages are there, and that is why they have the edge over the other banks or commercial banks, RRBs or cooperative banks or lead banks, etc. Now, how their sources are, how they make available the finance. First one is a cooperative societies. In every village, there is a society that is called cooperative societies. The cooperative societies is an instrument for the economic development of the deprived farmers, particularly in rural areas, and the small farmers more particularly. So they see in the village panchayat, a village cooperatives and the village schools as the trinity of the institution on which a self-reliance, just economic and the social order is to be built on. Okay, the cooperative movement was started in India largely with a view to providing the agriculturist or agricultural operation at the low rate of the interest and projects them from the clutches of the money lenders. This primary agriculture credit society, that is popularly called as a PACS, PACS, Primary Agricultural Credit Society. This society are the grassroots level arms of the short-term cooperative credit structure. Therefore, this PACS, that is Primary Agricultural Credit Society, deals directly with the farmer borrower. They grant the short-term and the medium-term loans and also undertake the distribution and the making functions. The PACS have stepped up their advance. The PACS have stepped up their advance to the weaker section, particularly the small and marginal farmers. The progress has been quite spectacular, but it is not sufficient considering the demand of finance by the farmers. Then Central Cooperative Bank came into the existence for making available the finance. The Central Cooperative Banks are the main task, and that is lead to the Primary Agricultural Credit Society in villages. So Central Cooperative Banks functions as intermediaries between the state cooperative banks and the primary agricultural societies. Now, when we refer to the state cooperative banks, then each state has one apex bank, that is state cooperative bank. There are approximately 30 to 35 the state cooperative banks in the country, That means each state is having its own state cooperative banks. That is the apex bank. And these banks are the apex bank, as I said, of the cooperative credit structure. And they serve a link between the NABARD, from which it borrows and lends it to the other cooperative central banks, primary societies in the villages, district cooperative banks, etc. Okay, coming down to understand the agri-NBFCs, which is a new breed, has come up for making available the finance. Only difference here is that the schemes which are implemented or subsidiary which is made available to these institutions are not made available to these agri-NBFCs. Government is still waiting for the functioning of these agri-NBFCs. Okay, so to ease the access of the credit and support the government ambition of the financial inclusion, the agri-NBFCs have played a very important role by offering its access to financing at attractive and competitive commercial terms for the crop loans, farming equipments, then machinery loans, then tractor loans, then loans to the mandi dealers, traders. Earlier, they never used to get this loan from the other institutional lenders. However, these NBFCs have traditionally been excluded from the purview of the government subsidy scheme. We do not know why. Why government is not recognizing this when they are supporting, like other institutional agencies. They are also making the similar attempt to improve the agricultural output. It is a question of debate. However, to make it available or make it understand, let us understand few objectives of the banks in agriculture. Banks' objectives. State cooperative bank, what that does? To work as an apex bank at the state level, to guide and supervise the functions of the district central cooperative banks and the primary cooperative agricultural societies, and also to develop the mutual relationship among them, and to communicate between the other cooperative societies and the district cooperative central banks. State cooperative bank, when we talk about the carry the whole responsibility of the banking business in cooperative sector. Complete banking sector business, and to make the maximum extension to the credit to the rural section or rural portfolio. At present, the cooperative banks controls or contributes 20% of its credit of the total distributed credits countrywide. 22% is their share. Second bank is a commercial banks. Source of finance from the commercial bank is very important. These commercial banks were not much bothered about the agricultural finance. Okay? Because these banks are spread into city and urban areas and metros. They are shying away to enter into the rural areas because of various reasons. But when the government made them mandatory to have the branches compulsorily in certain proportion, then they started opening their branches. Now, they were confined earlier. Their operation in urban areas, receiving the deposit from the urban public and financing the trade and industry. But they were not concentrating on the agriculture front. All this is changed when the nationalization of banks happened in 1969. Now, the commercial banks are providing the finance both directly and indirectly to this agricultural sector. Direct finance is for the agricultural operations for short and medium period, and indirect finance refers to an advance for distribution of the fertilizers and other inputs. those who are engaged into distribution network. The commercial banks have implemented village adoption scheme for overall growth of the village and the farmers. Having understood the role of the commercial banks, let us understand what is the role of financing by the land development banks. Land development bank, each taluka place is having the land development banks. Land development banks were set up in order to provide the long-term finance. So previously, they were called as a land mortgage banks. And the objective of these banks is to provide the long-term credit facility to the farmers to cultivation against the mortgage of their land. In addition to this, the bank does the following functions, which are the functions of the land development bank. To open the branches of the bank to different places, to see whether there is a proper disposal of the debt given, to issue a debenture from time to time, to create feeling of the cooperation among the members and to remote it, to guide for the different development projects in the agriculture, to promote the habit of the saving among the members, and to provide the valuable advice to the cultivators in the areas under which they were cultivated. Land Development Bank provides loans for repayment of the old loans to the cultivators because they were carrying the very high rate of interest. So as to bring it to the mainstream, the loan can be granted by the Land Development Bank for repayment of their old loans so that they can concentrate on the cultivation and they can increase the portfolio of production, agricultural production. Purchasing of the new land also, they are providing the loan. Digging and construction of their well. Repairing of the well also, they are undertaking. The cooperative has the direct encouragement from the government and the support of NABARD as it had made the spectacular progress. Now coming down to understand the functions and the roles of the regional rural banks, RRBs. These type of banks were constituted somewhere in 1975 and they were aligned to major public sector banks which are called as lead banks in the respective states at the areas and territories. So they have the alignment over there. They are functioning under the source of the finance will be given by those public sector banks to these RRBs for outward lending to the farmers. The main objective of this regional rural banks is to provide the credit and other facilities, particularly to the small and marginal farmers, agricultural laborers, artisans, small entrepreneurs, so as to develop the agriculture, trade, commerce, industry, and other productive activities in the rural areas. Doing then, if the banks are doing that, yes, government is doing its job for providing both short-term as well as the long-term loans. However, direct disbursement, they cannot make it. And we have seen also some kind of loan that is Takavi loan, which is generally advanced in the times of the natural calamities like flood hit areas or famine hit areas or drought hit areas like this. And when they give this kind of assistance, the rate of interest charge is very, very low because it is sponsored by the government, this finance. It is not a finance. Or even if it is a finance, it is a very, very low interest rate they are charging. But it is not a major source of agriculture finance. It is just an assistance given to. So the government provides the finance to indirectly as well as the directly to the agricultural sector. Indirect finance and direct finance, when we talk about the government, as well, whenever we talk about the indirect finance by the government, indicates that the credit is provided through the cooperative societies, and the direct finance by the government consists of financing the farmers directly, where the recipient is a direct. Recipient is direct. Farmer is a direct recipient of the finance. It is provided under the Land Improvement Loan Act of 1883 and the Agricultural Loan Act 1884. The government gives the Takavi loan to the farmers, which are disbursed at the time of distress, famine, flood, etc. at a low interest rate, approximately 6% per annum, and the repayment scheme is a very, very convenient. If this is the, if that was the government in initiative, then another bank which is constituted under the law is the NABARD. And what NABARD was doing, NABARD is a National Bank for Agriculture, Reconstruction and Development. Earlier what was happened, you know, when NABARD was not there, the Reserve Bank of India, since its formation, had one separate department, okay, and that department for handling the agricultural credit. That department was called as the Agriculture Finance and Development Corporation, ARDC, for providing the refinance and the support to the banks to promote the programmers of agricultural development, particularly those who are requiring the term credit, maybe short term or long term. The government needed an apex institution to extend the support, guidance to the credit, as well as guidance to the credit to the institution, and in the matter which is relating to the formulation and implementation of various rural development programs. That is why the government has constituted the another bank which is called as NABARD. In 1982, it was set up and it took over the entire function of the Reserve Bank of India's the department called ARDC, and it also took over the functions of the Reserve Bank of India relating to the cooperative banks and RRBs. The main objective of this NABARD was to look after the agricultural credit. It also has to provide the refinance to then the facilities to the banks and the financial institution which are lending to the agricultural sector and root for the purpose of rural development. Now, this is the new breed, agriculture NBFC. There are NBFCs, but agri NBFC is not recognized or not considered and as then authoritative, I can say, by the government. Why? We do not know, as I raised this question earlier also. The advent of the agricultural NBFC or agri-NBFC has not only ensured the easiest access to the financing at the attractive and competitive commercial terms for the seed and fertilizers to the farming equipment and also machinery, but it has also eased a loan to the institutionalized banks as the erstwhile primary lender to the farmers. The second evolution is bringing fast and affordable credit to those who traditionally found the doors of the finance closed to them. Traditionally, a category of the borrower who are new to credit, that is NTC. This client which they are chasing are the clients or the farmers who has been denied the credit by other institutional investors. Their agri NBFC comes, then why they should not be supported or included by the government on their list of the subsidies to be given to the farmers? That is another question. These agri NBFCs extend the credit facility using crop as a collateral only crop as a collateral, and against the storage receipt. Farm produce, when it is stored in the godown, and the receipt which is issued by the godown keeper, against that finance is made available by these agri NBFCs. So it is very easy to operate. So these NBFC sector over the banks, due to their ability to sanction, disburse the loan quickly and efficiently. The hassle-free processes with minimum paperwork gives these firms a definite edge over the banks and lead to the customer satisfaction. Timely making available the credit is the only expectation of the borrower. They are not thinking about that, what is the rate of interest, what are the papers required, what is collateral to be given. What is important? Timely availability of the loan. Because when the season has gone, then loan doesn't have any meaning. So under these circumstances, these NBFCs came to the rescue of them. These NBFCs, new agri NBFCs, they have got the robust internal process, risk management mechanism, use of latest technology. They are taking the current market rates into consideration and the basis of which they are making the disbursement, and that has further added to the popularity of the agricultural NBFC, as it is relatively cheaper and more convenient to avail the loans from such institutions. It is anticipated that due to the focused and the specialized nature of the business, these agri NBFCs could create a niche for themselves in lending to the entire value chain for the agriculture sector, and the success stories of existing entities will attract more firms and investors to invest in this growing fascination. Thank you very much.